103 is what we're going to start with. But before that, Mark, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, just thank you indeed for life and health and strength. Pray, Lord, your good hand upon us as we just gather around your word this evening. And I pray, Lord, please, the lifting up of our praises and prayers and the singing of your hymns and the reading of your word and the preaching of it would be acceptable in your sight. Please use this as a time, Lord, to just speak to each one of us about things in our lives, things in other people's lives, Lord, that maybe we can help with. But Lord, please work on us this evening. Bless Christy and inspire him and give him the words to speak. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be soft and ready to receive your word. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number
103.
661
is what
it's
saying in the book.
Oh, I'm doing 102, sorry.
Bye.
don't you come and read?
Turn tonight to Psalm number 44. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in the days and the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, nor did their own arms save them, but thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favour unto them. O art my king, thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies, through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, now shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah. But thou hast cast off, and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbours, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger, all this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart? Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off for ever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Wrong one. Just want to remind you all about the wee blue prayer lists this evening. We had a few extra requests that are notes, things to pray about that were not on the printout, but there is an acquaintance of Will's, the daughter-in-law of Will's boss. What age of a woman was she?
She must be in her late 20s, early 30s.
And she's in a hospice now for end-of-life care.
Probably. She's got one treatment to go for cancer.
So her name's Gemma. Please do pray for her. I would ask too that you would pray for Steve, and he's not keeping the best at the moment. He's got a lot of aches and pains, and he's on a morphine based painkiller to help him with the pains in his foot. So please do pray for him and for Pat as well, if you would. Got a phone call from Stan and asking for prayer for the O'Doherty family. Probably doesn't mean anything to many of you, but Stan had a very good friend called Dee Dee many years ago, and his son Mark, he got my first name and he got Dee Dee as a surname, or not a surname, a middle name. Very good friend of Stan's. I think he was like a brother to them, and I think there were at that time either 6 or 7 children. Just got word today that one of the sisters either committed suicide or overdosed on drugs, and she was only in her very early 40s and left behind some children. So we're asking prayer for the O'Doherty family. A little bit of background. I know that the family was mixed up in drugs over the years. Stan's friend Dee Dee killed himself around about the time Stan joined the church because he was mixed up in drugs.
And he had a brother that was a very hard drinker. He called him Tick. His name was Robert. And I remember going to visit him up in Altnagelvin because of his drinking, he lost the power of his legs at one point, and that happened a couple of times. I think he's dead now too. And there's at least one other brother or sister has passed away. I think four of them have lost their lives prematurely because of poor life decisions. So please do pray for the O'Doherty family at this time. They need a lot of prayer. They certainly need to be saved and to start living for the Lord. I think there was a lot going on in Stan's friend Dee Dee's heart and mind. Stan was probably witnessing away to him and even offered to take him in and get him away from the drugs and the alcohol. It wasn't a pleasant sight. I think he hung himself up by the reservoir and they didn't find him for a few days. So the birds had been at him, unfortunately, as well. So it's not pleasant when these things happen. The O'Doherty family is in a lot of trouble. Please do pray for them. If you're not going to remember them, take your pen and write them onto your prayer list. They'll be included the next time. Please do pray for them. So the O'Doherty family, please also pray for Pat and Steve. We miss Ling. Frank, he's back safely in London. And we're glad to have Will with us, and of course everybody else, Norman and Christy. I'm very glad to have Christy with us this evening. And it's good to have Carol and John and Stephen too. Please do remember all of those things. If anybody has anybody any private prayer requests other than what we took up this morning? None other. Okay. Has anybody any thanks? Anything they'd like to just thank the Lord for, and we'll write it down and we'll all thank the Lord for it. Yes? Work? It's always handy to have. I'm thankful I'm still here for another week and things are getting better and better, with the odd bad day, but I'm thankful for it. Amen. All right. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll hand the service back to Christy. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. Lord, you know all the thoughts of our heart. You know the things that's going on in our heads and in our lives. And I pray you, Lord, for those private ones or those quiet ones. And Lord, even the ones that are not mentioned, that you would work there, that you would contend with us and that you would convict us about the things that go on in our hearts and minds and lives. It's not pleasing to you. Please, Lord, I know there's strength for all things through the Holy Spirit for those that love you as Saviour. And I pray you, Lord, for that wisdom, for that strength, for that reasoning, for the Scriptures. Lord, please supply our needs here this evening. Not just ours, Lord, but the brethren everywhere. Pray especially for Stan at this time. We know he was very close to the O'Doherty family. And I pray, Lord, for them at the loss of another one of their children. And Father, please even now give Stan an opportunity to speak to those that are left and point them, Lord, to the foot of the cross. Pray for that wee girl, Gemma, who's in the hospice now, Lord, for a last treatment before, Lord, her life is over. Lord, if it would be your will that you would touch her body and take that away from her and give her a chance, but give her the chance knowing that it was you that did it. I pray that you would use each one of us to speak to souls about their eternity. I pray, Lord, for every bit of strength, wisdom, and overcoming power that we need, and chastening too, Lord. And I pray you, please, that you would take the time that we've set aside this evening away from the TV and the internet and all that other stuff, Lord, this evening, to work in our hearts and minds. Please inspire Christy. Please give him the words to say. Please, Lord, let those be the words we need to hear. Bless us and keep us, I pray you. Just thank you, Father, for loving us. Amen. 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 Okay, brother. Thank you kindly.
Any other bench? Second or last bench? Third.
Still a third bench, I suppose. And the black one, Will?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9 on the black book. Study.
Christ arose.
Christ arose. Let's
stand once we sing that.
What number is it?
Number 36, sorry. The wind, don't you?
Yes.
That gives us the wind, the resurrection. Gives us the victory. Acts chapter 14 is where we are. Tonight, if you can take your Bibles and join me there. Acts 14, we're reading from verses 8 through 20. 1 through 7 was our focus last week. And the topic for tonight is the keeping on church, or else the persevering church, whichever one you want. Has anyone started reading ahead yet to try and see and scope out the topics? I would bet Monica if it was anyone, but... starting at verse 8, and we're reading through verse 20, inclusive. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speaking, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upon thy feet." And he leapt and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconiae, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands onto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein. who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Amen. Well, could you lead us in prayer?
Father, thank you this night, Lord, and thank you for bringing us safely, securely to your shores tonight, Lord. We offer them, Lord, and pray Christ as he goes through the Bible, divine it, and Lord, give them to us, Lord. Give us word, Lord. And give us the message that they should write upon our hearts, Lord, and use it for our lives, Lord. Pray for those people that came out today, Lord. Pray for them also. Pray for Stephen, Pat, and Esther, Lord. And those who are sickness, Lord. Help them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Reduce their pain, Lord. And give them strength and bless them and keep them all over them as well, Lord. Pray for the people we were praying for, our sick people in Virginia. Help her, Lord. Heal her, Lord. And Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, save their life, Lord. Save our life also, Lord. And our household know that there is a God, Lord, and he's able to save through Jesus Christ our Lord, Lord. Lord, give us the day, Griff, also thank you for Sean, Lord. Sean, Lord, help her, Lord. Griff, that child, Lord, and bless her and keep her, Lord, and give her the gospel, Lord, also, Lord, and help her and reduce her pain and her discomfort as well, Lord. Griff, Mary, Lord, thank you for Mary's healing, Lord, and Lord, help her also in her life, Lord, send up with us to her and to save her from her sin as well, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for this night, Lord, give Christy, Lord, and give us as well, Lord. Direct our minds, Lord, and steady our minds on the message that's being taught, Lord. Take all worthy thoughts away from us, Lord, and may we solely concentrate and focus on thy word, Lord, tonight. Give us the gifts, Lord, glorify first the gifts for Jesus Christ, again, amen.
Last week we looked at the bold church, and we're still on Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. It certainly isn't their first stop at this point, and it won't be their last. But they were in Iconium, they were preaching in the synagogue, and a great multitude of both Jews and Greeks believed at that point. The unbelieving Jews and Gentiles, they stirred up the Gentiles and they started murmuring against them. But then it says then in verse 3, which is a recap of last week, that long time they abode there speaking boldly in the Lord. So we looked at some things that we ought to be. One key characteristic of the church should be boldness. And not boldness in only the sense that having boldness on its own without wisdom or without discernment, but some things also that we don't associate boldness with, like giving people a part of our heart rather than a part of our mind. Not sharing those thoughts within that just cry out to be shared when someone does something thick and stupid, but just instead showing grace and compassion rather than criticism. So that's a very brief recap. Then we get to this point. They're at Lystra, and they go through Lystra, Derbe, and Lycaonia, I think is how you pronounce that. But then here it gives a bit of an account of what happens at Lystra. They've been preaching the gospel. I meant to say that the term missionary journey sounds very grand. It sounds exciting. It sounds very honourable, of course. But often the reality is it comes at a cost of danger, a cost of physical hurt, mental hurt, and the separation from family, from friends, from what you know. Oftentimes as well, it comes at comfort when you go to a land that's just like yours. But we're talking about Paul's missionary journeys here, and he has suffered some danger up until this point. I think three times so far. But we often think that there's great praise to be had when we speak of our missionaries. We don't see the times that they spend in their homes lonely, praying, bearing the burdens of the souls that they're trying to reach out for. In times of adversity, we often look for God to do a removing job. But what he's trying to do in our adversity is an improving job. He's trying to improve us rather than remove the adversity from us. We only really fully appreciate the anchor and its purpose when we're in the midst of a storm, when we need to stay where we are, but the storm's trying to pull us left or right. But Jesus is that very anchor that will keep us grounded and stayed upon the rock, which is him. Just like God had a purpose for every trial that Paul has suffered to this point, so he has a purpose for our trials and our tribulations. But never once did God abandon or forsake Paul the Apostle. And he has promised us the same promise. Yeah. No matter what we face, no matter what trials, adversities, hardships we go through, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is the quoted promise of Jesus Christ. But we're at Lystra. There's an impotent man who has been a cripple from his mother's womb. They've been preaching the gospel, and Paul's drawn to this man. I don't know what it is. Paul says that he, as he steadfastly behold him, he's able to perceive that this man had faith to be healed. I don't know if it's the fact that he's listening intently. I don't know if his face changed when Paul mentioned Jesus. I don't know what it was, but something drew Paul to this man. And Paul notices a very real need. He's obviously crippled, unable to walk or stand up like the rest of them. Maybe he has a beggar's cup beside of him. But Paul notices that this man has a very real need. He has no power in his feet, hasn't had since his mother's womb. He's never walked a day in his life. And Paul's drawn to him. And with that very real need, he meets that need with very real power. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of healing that was granted to these apostles. We don't hold it today, and that's okay, but they did in these days. Jesus gave them direct power over all devils and serpents, over all sicknesses and illnesses. And Paul exercises that. I should note that these disciples didn't go on their missionary journey to perform miracles. Their key focus was to preach the gospel. They didn't perform a miracle then preach. They preached, and oftentimes the Lord allowed a miracle to happen. So they went into these cities purely with the focus of preaching the gospel. He calls out the crippled man with a loud voice and he says, "Stand upright on thy feet." And I like this. He leaps up and walks right away. There was no doubt. There was no time to stop and say, "How do I walk?" No, once God tells you to do something, get to it and you'll know how to do it. Just go along the way. He'll lead you and guide you. And that's what happened here. He didn't have to stop and say, "Which foot do I move first?" He just knew he had been healed, and he had the power on his feet that he had never had. And God had healed him. God had healed him. This certain man, without the strength in his feet, made the important transition from hearing what Jesus, the work of Jesus, to believe in the work of Jesus, and then to holding fast to it that it was for him, the work of Jesus. Many people don't make that transition. Many people just hear about Jesus and his work, but never get to the point in their lives where they see the benefit of Jesus' work. It's for you and I. And he made it. He made that transition. And I know that's probably a controversial word right now with what's going on in the world, but this man made the transition from being a lost soul, being in need, to getting his needs met with the very real power of God. These people in Lystra, they see this miracle, and they're up in arms. They're amazed. They're in awe. They start raising their voice and praising. It says in verse number 11. And they say in their own speech, I'm not even going to try and embarrass myself by trying pronouncing that word again, or that place. In Lystra, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Clearly it had been obvious that they had known or had some awareness of the Old Testament. They were looking for a Messiah, a God, in the form of a flesh. And they see this power, this miracle, and they think, well, here's the gods. But then it contradicts what I just said, because and they go on to give them names of the Greek gods and not the God that they should have been looking for in the New Testament. So maybe I was wrong in saying they had an awareness, but I'm sure that they heard people say in those days, God is coming. God is coming, because the Jews were looking for the Messiah. But they call Barnabas, they call him Jupiter, and they call Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. We know these as planets in Greek mythology. They're gods, and they worshipped them as gods in these days, and they thought the gods were come down to them. The priests of Jupiter, it says, he goes out and he gets animals to commit sacrifice, to give sacrifice to these gods, to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas hear rumblings of what's going on, and they're annoyed. They're really annoyed. You see, this wasn't just an inconvenience to them. This was blasphemy that they were being treated as gods. And they rent their clothes, which is a common custom amongst the Jewish folk, to show that they are opposed to heresy. You see, kings throughout, when there's a crime or a great injustice committed in the land, they'll rent their clothes. And if they have committed it, they sit in sackcloth and ashes to cleanse themselves of it. But oftentimes when a prophet disagreed with something that was going on in the land, they rent their clothes. They ripped them. And this is what Barnabas and Paul done here. And they run in amongst the people. And they say, what are you doing? We're men like you. We have the same flesh as you. We have the same passions as you do. But we're come to preach that you should turn from these vanities. And I know, I'm jumping back, I just noticed the point when I was turning the page. I know we don't possess healing power or miraculous power today, that believers don't, but there still is a lesson in this for us. And that is, for God's word to be, God's will to be accomplished, we need God's power. For us to have God's power, we need a very real relationship with Him. We need to be walking in His truth and in His way, and talking and listening to Him. But getting back, they say, we're here to preach to you that you should turn from these gods and turn to the living God, the one true God which made the earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Verse number 15 is where we are. And then he goes on to talk about the goodness of God and gives a bit of testimony there. He said, yes, in times gone by, he did suffer the nations, specifically the Jews, to walk in their own way. And he guided them through, he delivered them from that after they were servants in the land. And he provided food, fruitful seasons, rain from heaven, and filled our bellies and our hearts with food and with gladness, is what he says. He gives testimony to the goodness of God. And that is, Christian, what we ought to be doing. And I know there will be times of hardship and hurt and heartache, but we can still look to the goodness of God, that goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our life, as the psalmist said, and spread that abroad to others who don't know it. But it is important for Christians to acknowledge where the power that we have comes from. It doesn't come from any Greek gods. It doesn't come even from our own wisdom or experience or other Christians' wisdom or experience. It comes from the very author and founder and finisher of our faith. It comes from God Himself. And we need to thank Him and be grateful when He does deliver a bit of His power to us. And that is what they do here. They give credence to the power of God. It was Him that done the miracle. It's His power. And the people restrained once they heard these words. They didn't offer the sacrifice, it says in verse number 18. But the very same crowd who had opposed Paul and Barnabas at Iconium, at Antioch, they come where Paul and Barnabas are. I don't know if they were just intent all out in going against Paul because he used to be on their side and now he had turned. So they were probably just going to follow him and get at him every way they could, persecute him in all that they could, just like he used to do to the church. But here they are back and they hear what's went on. They're persuading the people. They're saying, did you not hear what he's saying? He's saying you worship false gods. He's saying that there's a God out there that you don't worship. And they stone him. They stone Paul to death. Capital punishment. At least they stone him to the point where they think he's dead. And some do believe that Paul died here and was brought back to life. I don't know, it doesn't tell us. All I know that he was in such a shape that the people thought he was dead and they carried him out of their city. Bloodied, beaten. And then, thank God, the apostles or disciples stood round about him. And they're probably standing right about him thinking, this was our chief speaker. What are we going to do? And Paul gets up. Paul rises up, it says in verse number 20. And he goes into the city again. But the very reaction that almost blew my mind. Well, before we get there, I'll just mention that they didn't harm Barnabas by the seams of it. They went for the chief speaker. They knew that if you go for the strong one, or the one who seems to be leading the way, that the rest will submit and be afraid as well. But Paul, if I'm just going to cheat and read on one more verse, says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, and that's all I'll read of that, in verse number 21, he went into the city the next day, and many had said that Derbe is 40 miles away from Lystra where they were. So after being stoned to the point where he was so weak, probably so discolored, so disfigured that he looked dead, he got up and the next day he walked 40 miles to preach the very same message that put him in that state in the first place. That's what I call perseverance. That's what I call keeping on when times are tough. That's what I call sticking to the purpose that God has called us to stick to. See, God didn't call us to avoid persecution at all costs, but he did call us to preach the gospel to every creature. He did call us to continue on and to keep on keeping on. They used this opportunity of praise and worship for themselves to point to the living God that people should be worshiping and praising. They didn't take any of the credit for themselves like we often do. And we probably don't even know that we're taking it, but by staying silent, we're letting those people worship us and praise us and say that it's our characteristics are good, when in actual fact, God has spent a lot of time working upon us. Vance Havner tells of an elderly lady who was greatly disturbed at all the troubles that she had, some imaginary obviously and some real. And the granddaughter finally says to her after they've worked a lot with her, says, "Granny, we've done all we can for you. You're just going to have to trust God for the rest of these things." With the disturbed look, she looks at her granddaughter and said, Oh dear, it's come to that, has it? And Vance Havner comments on that and says it always comes to that, so we may as well just start with that. Mm-hmm. At the very end, when we get to the end of ourselves, we go to God. But we put ourselves through a lot of stress, pressure, anxiety, hurt and harm by exhausting every avenue that we think we can solve it by first, rather than just depending upon the Lord and saying, "Lord, I give it to you. You sort it how you would." Yeah. The longer we fight a trial, the longer it takes for us to learn a lesson. There's a lesson in every trial. There's a lesson in every temptation. There's a lesson in every person that we meet. It's just whether we see it or take the time to look upon it as a lesson. Reading a couple of verses in closing. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." He can do much more than we can ask or that we can think. And I have thought about all that God can do, and I've thought some mighty things, and I have read some mighty things that God can do, and he can do even more than that. Mm-hmm. Feeding 5,000 people out of one little boy's packed lunch is pretty astonishing, and he can do much more. But then there's Ephesians 5, verse number 16. In closing with this verse, it says, we'll read 15 as well. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." It's easy for us, friends, to feel sorry for ourselves when we're burdened with the cares of this life. When the hardships come down on us strongly, and all those that we depended upon for many years in our lives go against us because they're stancing the gospel. It's easy for us to quiver and curl up and forget about all the things that God has done. But persevere, keep on. Keep walking another step. Preach the gospel, just as Paul did. It doesn't matter if they have the stones in their hands. And these days, it's more verbal stones than it is physical stones. But they will cast them at you, but Jesus will walk with you. He'll be there for you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. And let me just add, because it's been on my mind a lot, and it's not really a point that I had in my notes, but I've been thinking a lot about the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and another example of a stoning. Stoning was capital punishment in the Bible. It was to kill you. But Hebrews says that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And in what those folks did, by not stoning that woman to death when they caught her, what did they do? They brought her to Christ. And oftentimes, I think we turn sinners away when we get those verbal stones out. We call sinners, and we all do it, I've done it, we call sinners by their sin, but yet we say amongst ourselves that you're not your sin. So if we call them by their sin, then they are their sin. Or if we say they're not, then don't call them by it. And those verbal stones doesn't point them to Jesus. That sends them the other way. And I'm not saying don't stand against sin, I am. I'm saying stand against it at every opportunity. What I'm saying is, you were a sinner once. No one lifted the stones, or if they did, they didn't throw them. Those men didn't throw them because Jesus gave that woman a bit of her heart rather than a bit of his mind and what the law said. Norman read this morning, there's liberty with Christ. Christ came to set us free from sin, not to give us or make us pay the penalty of our sin. Rather than lifting their stones, why don't we just bring them to Christ? Bring them to Christ. Just like, I know they didn't mean to do that, but they did it. But let us meaningfully do it. Amen. Let us be a keeping on, church. In the face of all hardships that have come and will come. And there's more coming along the way. Closing hymn, anyone? Before I keep going.
16. 20.
We'll do 2.
16
and 20. Are you 20 in the black book? Or?
Yeah.
16 as well. 28, woman? 20. We'll do 20 first, then we'll do 16 after. You can stand for this one, stand for the next one, or stand for both. I'll leave it open. You can sit or be standing.
Grace, he lifted me from sin.
Crowd of disciples that gathered around Paul, there might have been a young man called Timothy around there who realized at that point that missionary journeys take sacrifice. The Christian life takes sacrifice and takes perseverance to keep on. Best way to answer critics is to accomplish your task. Our task here is to finish well. Fight the good fight, keep the faith, and finish the course, as Paul said to Timothy. Would you close us out in prayer, Mark, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your servant. Thank you, Lord, for my brethren this evening. I pray you would bless each one of us as we go our separate ways. I pray you please, Lord, for answered prayer, especially for the O'Doherty family at this time. Please be with Steve and Pat and with us as we go home. Please, Lord, although the service is done, please don't be done with us, Lord. Don't be done working in our hearts and minds and opening our understanding of your word. Just love you and praise you, Lord. Please walk before us as we go. There are many souls that need to know you. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.